Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LT Foods Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Nayyar from Systematix Institutional Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Laiba, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to LT Foods 1Q25 call. Would like to welcome the management on the call today. We have with us Mr. Ashwani Arora, MD and CEO, Mr. Sachin Gupta, CFO, and Ms. Monika Chawla Jaggia, VP Finance and Strategy. We'll start with opening comments on the quarter gone by and the outlook ahead by the management, followed up with a Q&A session post that. So without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Monika, ma'am. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Himanshu. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our Q1 Financial Year 25 earnings conference call. Before we start with the key highlights of the quarter ended 30th June 2024, I would like to highlight that certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today are forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. Result documents are available on the company's website and have also been uploaded on the stock exchange. A transcript of this call will also be made available on the investor section of the company's website. I would like to begin by taking you through the key highlights of the quarter one. Our consolidated revenue for quarter one was up by 17% at rupees 2,088 crores versus rupees 1,789 crores last year. That is on account of the increased sales from all the segments. Gross profit grew by 16%, and gross profit margin was 30 basis points lower from 33.8% to 33.5% on account of increase in input cost. EBITDA for the quarter one was higher by 15% on year-on-year basis at rupees 258 crores compared to rupees 224 crores last year, and the EBITDA margin stood at around 12.4%. PBT increased by 18% to rupees 198 crores from rupees 167 crores last year. PAT for the quarter increased by 13% to rupees 155 crores compared to rupees 137 crores in the previous year. EPS increased by 11% to rupees 4.41 versus rupees 3.96 in the quarter one financial year 24. Cash profit increased by 14% to rupees 197 crores compared to rupees 173 crores in the previous year. Moving on to the key ratios of our balance sheet, the return on the capital employed improved to 20.8% from 19.4% in quarter one financial year 24. Return on equity stood at 17.8%. The debt-to-equity ratio declined from 0.4 times to 0.2 times, and the debt-to-EBITDA ratio for quarter one financial year 25 is 0.8 versus 1.2 in the previous corresponding quarter. Current ratio has also improved from 2 to 2.3 in this quarter. Because of our continued focus on the working capital optimization, our net working capital days have also reduced by 8 days to 202 days versus 210 days in the last quarter, in the last quarter one financial year 24. So now we will open the floor for the question answer. So this is the financial highlights. Now over to you all. You can raise the questions, and we'll be happy to answer the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my first question is on the market share in India. Are you seeing any movement there given the number three player had acquired a company in the Basmati? So any impact of that going ahead you see, and how is the market share versus the other large players in India?
Hi, Avinash. Our market share, this report has yet to come, but the last report we have got is 30% market share we have in India.
Okay. And in terms of your international business, how do you see growth this year? You have taken a lot of proactive steps in those countries, U.S., Europe, etc. Could you talk about growth expectation for the balance part of the year, FY25?
As far as this quarter, I'm sure you have gone through the presentation. As a company, we have grown by 15%, and international business has grown roughly 17%. Going forward, we see the positive trend in terms of consumption. Demand side looks solid, and we see good in terms of demand side.
And last question, more on the cost side. In terms of the Red Sea crisis on shipping and container, how was the impact, and would you say that worst is behind on that?
No, the worst is not yet behind. We have seen the Red Sea impact a little bit on that, so the growth in the margin has impacted. But we are positive that this is only a quarter or two-quarter thing. The 25-26 looks very positive to us, as the commodity price is going to be down in crop 24. So we see improvement of margin in 25-26.
Okay. Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amarnath Bhagat from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Aman. Yes. Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening. Just two set of questions. First of all, this recent announcement or potential announcement from the government relating to this lifting of the export ban on the rice, how that will have an impact on your business?
As far as the lowering down the MEP, the industry will definitely gain. As far as LT is concerned, LT has not much impact on this because we are exporting on a higher value. And the market will open up with the lower MEP. Definitely, partly LT will also get benefited.
No, I'm trying to say, understand. Say, for example, when there was a ban on export of a non-basmati rice, I'm sure part of that demand is being made through the basmati rice because non-basmati rice was not available at the exported country. Now, say, if that export ban opens up, will it have an impact on your selling of basmati rice in the exported countries?
If you see the basmati market, they don't cannibalize with non-basmati to basmati. Non-basmati is more Africa and the country with the lower income. But as far as basmati is concerned, that's mainly consumed in Middle East, Europe, and America, and that don't cannibalize with the non-basmati, and therefore will not have any impact on the basmati growth. I hope.
Okay.
Clear to you.
Okay. So now that was a clarification required. Yeah. So you are saying these two are not related. So if there is known availability of non-basmati rice, that doesn't going to impact on your basmati rice consumption on the same country.
And on the top of that, India is not supplying, but someone else is supplying. So the demand is being met.
Okay. The second is one of your competitors is struggling, as you know, in the Saudi market, which is one of the biggest basmati exporting market from the India. Now, especially in the last 1-2 years. So how you as an LG Food is ensuring your presence in that big market, especially in the last 2 years under the challenging situation, or you are leaving that country?
As far as LT is concerned, LT has a very strong market in India, USA, Europe, and Far East. Middle East contribute roughly 8. But as far as Saudi is concerned, we have appointed, you know, our partner there, distributor, and stick for that market.
Sorry, I'm going a little deeper on this particular. We all know that Saudi is a very big market.
Yeah.
And there is an issue happened last 2 years that the local players with their branded basmati, of course, I don't know from where they're getting it, but they taken away many of the exported volume which was used to go from India, and one of your nearest competitor was major player and they lost a big market share there. So I'm just trying to understand, is there a potential market for you there now because somebody else has vacated that place and the demand for the basmati rice in that particular area is anyway very strong?
Saudi is a 1.2 million ton market that import basmati, and there are 3-4 very strong player there. Three are company which is Saudi based company, and fourth, you said our nearest competitor. So I don't want to comment more, but I will say, there must be cannibalization must be happening, and the market is growing. And as far as LT is concerned, LT has appointed the distributor, so it will take time to strengthen our footprint there in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, that means you are looking to that market as well, right?
No, definitely. That's our focus. The Middle East is our focus, and that's a 3 million ton market. And as I said, we have 8% of our revenue comes from Middle East, and that's our focus, and we are going to focus on that that market, and we are focusing on that market.
Okay. Can I ask one more? What with respect to the strategy for the domestic part of it, especially the value-added items which you are now producing, and also going strength to strength with respect to that. If you can really tell us how you're thinking strategically to improve that part domestically within India, not really the rice, but the value-added product of the rice, how you see the potential of that market within India for you? Because your brand is quite recognized, well-known brand, but somehow the revenue growth is not really reflecting the real potential of that food in the Indian market.
Thank you. So first of all, you asked about our strategy. So we have a strategy for the core business, which is basmati, and the strategy for the value-added product. So as far as the core business is concerned, we are very optimistic about India demand story, and we have grown 14% in this quarter, and we see that this demand will continue, and we have a very clear strategy, strong strategy of acquiring consumer, and our distribution, strengthening our distribution, that part doing well. On the value-added thing, we have launched a biryani kit. That's doing very well. Kappa has not picked up well, But we are optimistic on the, you know, the portfolio we have defined for, you know, India market for value added, and we see, you know, in the coming times optimistic. As far as our food business is concerned, that in America that is doing very well. You know, RTH we have filled up with our capacity, and we are doubling our capacity in this year.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I will come back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ankur Arora from Magma Ventures. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. I joined a little late, so if you have answered the question already, sorry about that. Wanted to check on the Red Sea crisis, how much cost increase would have happened this quarter because of, on account of freight charges?
In terms of freight charges, how much is the impact, you said, you asked?
Yes.
So this quarter, there is an impact of almost 1.5% if you compare it with the Q1 of the last year. So our logistic cost as a percentage to revenue has increased by 1.5%.
And what would be the number quarter on quarter?
So it was 5.1. Currently, it is 6.6.
Anyway, what would be the impact quarter on quarter compared to fourth quarter?
Compared to the immediate preceding quarter, you are talking about?
Yeah.
4.8. It was 5%, so it is 1.6% from the immediate preceding quarter as well.
Okay. So, and you believe that this price impact will continue for at least one or two more quarter?
Yeah, that's what we are thinking. That will happen. So, the guidance we are getting from shipping line is that, you know, it will have an impact for one or two quarter more.
How easy or difficult it has been to pass on some bit of that impact to end customer?
So, you know, because this is a temporary and as a strategically, we don't want to pass it on to the customer. Some part we have done it, in some part we have not done it.
All right, thank you. The current average, the cost which we have incurred in the current quarter, that is the first quarter, and the current rates are also similar to that, or it has gone up even higher than that?
Can you repeat that, please?
I said the cost which we incurred in the first quarter, 5.whatever%, and the current rate in July, are they similar to what we met in the last quarter, or it has gone up even higher?
July will be little higher.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Hitesh Goel from Riddhish Abbott Advertisers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. First question is on the ready-to-eat business. So basically, I know you are talking about a 35-40% growth there. Can you detail us in terms of new products that you tried to, you know, launch in that segment? You know, there was talk about spices that we'll get into. So you can, you know, tell us something about the new launches there.
Yeah, so in you know, the biggest revenue comes of food is from America, and we have a microwave rice there. As I just said that, you know, we are doubling our capacity there. We have more demand than the capacity we have in India, because this is, you know, not evolving as a, you know, ready to eat market on the shelf. So we are, you know, we have introduced biryani kit. That's a small, but, you know, getting good attraction. And we have some, you know, other product in the pipeline, which is more on ready to cook. So that will be rolled out in a, you know, coming time. As far as our, this rice snacks, the roasted rice snacks, Kari Kari, that has also, you know, picked up. So we have almost doubled the sale in this quarter than, you know, last quarter. Yeah.
So any plans to get into, you talked about ready to eat, any plans to get into like MDH kind of domain, like rajma, pule rice and all that?
As I said, you know, ready to eat market is more the Western world. There we are growing. We are introducing, you know, different flavors. As far as India is concerned, that is more we are focusing on ready to cook.
Okay, Okay. My second question is on the U.K. facility. So you talked about investment you made that is because of duty benefit that you'll get. Can you talk us about what is the investment? Because rice will be procured here, it's only a storage facility. Or you can talk about that. And the additional revenue that is coming in, that will add to the Europe revenue, or this is just a substitution of the revenue?
So first, let me talk about U.K. U.K. is a $1 billion market, both the dry rice and ready-to-eat market. And we have set up this facility, which is all processing and packaging facility. So we are expecting in this year $40 million revenue. So we have got good account with us. And as far as revenue is concerned, can you, Sachin?
For CapEx, during this, we have invested in the CapEx of that is around £6.5 million. That is the capital investments which we have made in this facility. And this will generate a revenue, as Ashwani ji has generating a revenue of.
Question is distribution of revenue. It will be merged with Europe?
It will actually, yes, because it will be a separate entity. So it won't be merged. So we have a European facility that is separate. We have a London facility that is separate. So there is two separate entities that they are. And this has a holding company that is in the U.S. So the U.S. will be doing the consolidation.
No, that's fine. I'm not talking about accounting. I'm saying that your Europe revenue was 1,500 crores last year in FY24.
This will be add-on. This will be the new revenue.
So this will help you gain market share. That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Damodaran from Acutus Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, this is Damodaran.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is on the long-term EBITDA margin. So if I look at your long-term EBITDA margins for basmati rice segment specifically, that's always ranged between 12%-13%. Now, if I compare that with your competition, that has been much more volatile. And a few players have actually faced losses and gone bankrupt as well. So can you give a reason as to why your margins are much more, I mean, much less volatile, how you have managed it much better versus your competition? So yeah, that is the first question. And I'll ask the second question later.
Okay. Thank you, Damodaran. So first of all, it's a business model. So as far as LT is concerned, this is an FMCG led by your very strong brand. So that's why the stability is there in margin. We have a global footprint.
Right, sir. But if I'm correct, I mean, I think even your competition has a similar kind of global footprint, and their share of branded sales is also around what we have. So what is our competitive advantage there?
That's what I'm saying. I will repeat. So I don't want to comment on the competitive. But as far as LT is concerned, we have a global footprint, very strong in USA, Europe, and of course in India, and very diverse business in terms of geography. And all is led by brand. That's how the stability in the market is coming. That's the power of the brand, I would say.
Okay. So I mean, I would be right in assuming that your, I mean, the kind of geographical mix that you have is much, I mean, it's much more diverse and different versus your competition, and that allows you to price your product better and manage margins better. Is that correct?
Yeah. I will say that is bringing the stability in the margin and improving along with that.
Sure. Thanks. And just one question on the recently announced distributor tie-up in Saudi Arabia. So I know it's early days, but can you give some qualitative color as to what kind of coverage does this allow us in terms of retail stores in Saudi Arabia, and what plans do you have there?
Excuse me for a minute. Good, you know, sorry, I was not understood your question.
Yeah, so I was, the question was on the...
So they are a billion dollar company, you know, very good distribution across all the like food service, general trade, very good distributor, strong distributor, a listed company.
Okay, okay. Sure, sir. That's all from my side, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Anopchand Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead, sir. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Vipul Kumar Anopchand Shah.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, yes, very much.
So, sir, can you give me volume and revenue for domestic Indian business, US business, and Europe separately? Means volume in tonnage and revenue.
Yeah, we can, that is in the presentation, if you see the breakup, and otherwise, you know, we can get back to you.
Sir, I think it is not part of the presentation, so I think last quarter also I pointed out, so it will be better, I request you to make this as a part of your presentation, if it is possible, please.
Okay, sure.
And sir, my... second question is, have we received insurance money? Means, have we given the bank guarantee? So, what is the status now?
That's a good news, you know, we have is that, you know, we have, the High Court has given a judgment that, you know, we should get our money against, you know, half bank guarantee and half without bank guarantee. And then the insurance company went to Supreme Court. And Supreme Court also rejected their appeal. So Supreme Court has said that, you know, within 4 weeks, we should get our money with, you know, bank guarantee. So that's a good news. We will get our money in 4 weeks' time.
So we should be getting around 160 crores, right, sir?
Plus interest.
Okay. And sir, when do we expect our this ready to eat and ready to cook business?
You know, this is the, you know, on this the order we are still waiting, but the verbal order, based on verbal order, you know, I am telling you, but still we have to, you know, file in stock exchange when we will get the written order from the Supreme Court. But that's what has been verbalized.
And sir, why our market share in Saudi Arabia is so low when it's such a huge market of 30,000 crores? Means, why we previously, means it was a deliberate decision not to enter that market previously? Means, what is the thinking behind this?
Previously, you know, we have chosen our, you know, the business area where we thought, you know, we are strong. And we have chosen India and Europe. We have done, USA, we have done acquisitions. In Europe, we have set up. That is, to our mind, has better stability in the business and margin. But having said that, you know, now our next focus is Middle East. And we are focusing on that. And we are optimistic that, you know, the next growth will come from there. That the next, you know, value addition and the growth will come from there.
So, we'll be putting up any plant there, or it will be supplied from India only?
No, it will be supplied from India as 80% Basmati exporting, and that will be supplied from India, but that's a consumption market and we are focusing on that.
And sir, lastly, on your UK investment, so... that will cater only to UK market, or it will cater to the entire Europe?
No, we have, you know, we have divided the is continental Europe and UK, which is after Brexit, and the UK will be serviced from UK facility, and rest of the we call it continental Europe, that will be serviced from
Rotterdam
facility.
And sir, my last question: when do you expect this ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook business in India to break even? So how much time will it take?
So next year we are 25th 26, what do you say, Sachin?
It will be break even in 26-27, so on a revenue base of 400 crores it will be, and we are projecting this revenue to be in 26-27.
Okay sir, thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you, this is all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Risham Jain from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have 2-3 questions. So first one is, if I look at the profit from associate, that is largely Golden Star, if I am correct.
Yes.
And if I look at last few quarters, 1Q last year was very good. We had 14 odd crores of profit, but last 3-4 quarters it is now steady at close to 11-12 crores. This quarter is just 10.6. So how are you thinking about this Golden Star, the jasmine rice business?
So afternoon, that quarter was little exceptional, and we are confident whatever 11 crore per quarter, that is kind of we see it growing from there.
Okay, understood, sir. And
hello.
Hello. Am I audible?
There's a disturbance in your background.
Okay, is it audible now?
Yes, Risham, you can continue, please.
Okay, sorry. So the other related question is, the jasmine rice business is a good business other than US as well. So is this company planning to take this jasmine rice to other parts, because it already has a good distribution network, let's say in other parts of the country, like in Europe, in India and all?
Yes, that's the plan. We have already started one or two country, like Israel. We have started Dawat jasmine there, and now we are rolling it to the other part of the world. That's the next, in the rice category, that's the next new variety we are taking it to the rest of the world, in Middle East also.
Okay, understood. Okay. So the second question is with respect to the CapEx plan. Sorry, hello.
Next month we are launching Dawat jasmine rice in India also.
Oh, okay. Great news.
Yeah.
So the second question is with respect to the CapEx plans. Is there any CapEx this year other than the UK, which you have, I think, already commissioned? So no more CapEx in UK, but anywhere else?
So the two, the CapEx is, one is we are doubling our capacity in USA for our, this retort business, ready-to-eat business. So that will be roughly 87 crore, $10 million we are investing there to capacity. And the second is UK. So India is more of kind of maintenance and little bit growth,
Okay, so sir, just the kind of deleveraging which we have done over the last few years, 4 years, this year also, given that you don't have material capex, should one assume that the debt, whatever we have, can further come down in FY25?
That's what we are, Risham, target. Next year, crop 24, we are expecting also the commodity prices to come down. And that will also add into, releasing the working capital. So we are positive on that.
Okay. So, sir, given that the profit run rate which we have currently plus the inventory prices which will come down, so working capital release also will happen. So do you expect that next year there is a possibility that we can become a net cash company?
Yeah, Resham, yes. But as you know, there is a payment of the Golden Star that we have to make. So in the next June 25, so there will be an outflow for the Golden Star. Considering this is the year on the basis of which the valuation will be decided, so there will be an outflow. Apart from that, yes, if that is to be not taken into, then of course, that will be there.
Yeah. Okay. Because you will get insurance payment also on the other side. So I was just thinking, overall, there is a possibility of becoming the net cash company next year.
Yes.
Okay. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank
you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Sir, regarding this appointment of distributor in Saudi Arabia, so I believe I'm assuming this is different from what the arrangement that we have with SALIC. And in terms of, will it be distributed under our own brand? And considering that Saudi market is a very premium market or the realizations are considered to be quite high, so would you believe this can have the potential to improve your overall margin as well?
So SALIC is a, first of all, let me start from there. SALIC is an investing arm of PIF. So this is a distributor we have appointed. As far as price points are concerned, globally, every part of the market has all premium price point, mid price point, and the bottom price point. So we will be launching in all price points. And as far as the margin expansion is concerned, with the scale, with the revenue growth, definitely overall, it should help in improving margin. In a medium term, first year, 1.5 year will be kind of investment in that market also in terms of acquiring consumer and setting up distribution.
Okay. Sir, I read your comment in the press release regarding this premiumization. So can you give slightly more color in terms of what kind of premiumization that we did do? And of course, I understand that this quarter got impacted because of the higher freight cost. But had that not been the case, how would this premiumization would have helped us in terms of our margin?
So we have given the guidance also that where our margin expansion will come. So we said 0.5-0.7 will come from premiumization. And when I say premiumization means selling the higher gross margin product, and that is year on year getting strengthened. And we are optimistic that the investment behind that is working and will keep on working and medium term, the margin will improve.
Okay. And the freight charges, I'm not sure if I heard it correctly, the impact was 1.6% of the sales, right?
Yes.
Higher compared to year on year.
Yes, you are right. That was 1.5% from the last year.
And this EU thing, sorry, the U.K. investments that we've done, in Europe also, we have the facility from quite some long time. How much bullish you believe that U.K. has more potential because EU has not been a very strong contributor considering the time that we have? And I'm sure there also we have a lot of tie-ups with a lot of retailers in Europe. So how do you see these two markets different and the future potential of it?
As far as Basmati is concerned, of course, U.K. is a bigger market than EU. And after Brexit, you know, you can't service your business from the Rotterdam facility. That's how, you know, we have opened up this new facility, and this is adding up for, you know, the new businesses for us also. We have got a very good new accounts.
Okay. And I just noticed in the presentation that you've launched Jasmine Rice even under the Royal brand. So being in the US, Golden Star as well as Royal, so I'm presuming, you know, just trying to understand the strategy in terms of, are we planning to kind of tame out the Golden Star brand, or I mean, you know, probably increase more weight towards the Royal brand, or just to understand the US strategy?
No. You know, Golden Star is the second largest brand, and if you see in dry rice, you know, we are not selling Royal Jasmine, so that is in the Golden Star, or you know, 817 we are selling. But what you are seeing in the presentation is the ready to eat rice, you know, the retort rice. So that's a cooked rice, where, you know, the Royal brand strategy is to, you know, give every variety of rice in cooked form, you know. That's a microwave rice.
Okay.
Yeah, RTH.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhyuday Jhunjhunwala from JVS Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Arora. Thank you for taking my question. I have two quick questions for you. Firstly, I just wanted to understand how much manufacturing capacity is devoted to basmati rice and jasmine rice, respectively. And secondly, if you could please provide the margins that you get internationally and domestically for jasmine and basmati.
You, you know, your voice is not getting clear.
I'm so sorry about that, Mr. Arora. Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now, but sometime, you know, it breaks and yeah.
Okay, I'll speak a little slowly. Hopefully, it'll be clear. I had two quick questions. Firstly, I wanted to know what part of the manufacturing capacity displayed on your annual report for 23 is devoted to basmati and jasmine rice, respectively. And secondly, I wanted to understand what the margins for basmati and jasmine rice separately would be, internationally and domestically.
So I will double check, but mostly in annual report is basmati capacity. Jasmine rice is,
I see,
you know, almost all outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as far as margin is concerned, let me come back.
So the margins are more or less the similar margins in the basmati as well as in the jasmine rice category. So we are enjoying 13% EBITDA margin.
Okay, thank you. And this would be domestically and internationally for basmati?
Yes. So this is for the, I'm talking about the total EBITDA margin.
Okay, got it. And the manufacturing capacity you mentioned for basmati, it's mentioned on the annual report. But for jasmine rice, if you could please fill me in on your, on how much would your sales capacity be, if not manufacturing?
So sale capacity, we sell roughly, you know, 70,000 tons. As
mm-hmm.
far as, you know, the manufacturing, that is all outsourced, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we buy from the Thailand millers. So
okay.
They manufacture and pack for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Arora.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Isha Shah from Nizar Enterprise. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Isha, yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First one being, sir, in the investor presentation, I see that you have mentioned about a regional specialty rice. So I would like to know how big is the market over there and how are we doing in that segment?
So regional specialty, you know, is a I will say, times bigger than basmati rice in India. So every region.
How many times?
5 times bigger than basmati.
Okay.
And you know, every region has their own specialty. Like South has Sona Masuri, you know, and East has, and Western has problem. So we are seeing good, you know, entry into that market. You know, we are selling roughly, you know, 20,000-25,000 tons, and now we are strengthening our supply chain for this regional rice, and we are optimistic, you know, that will be a good add-on in our portfolio.
Okay. Sir, how much margin approx would be on this? Would it be similar to the basmati rice?
So in terms of EBITDA overall percentage margin, it will be much lower, like it will be, you know, 6% EBITDA margin. But in terms of ROIC, you know, it has a, you know, similarly the formula we have set for ourselves that, you know, anything less than 20% ROIC, we will not contribute, yeah. But when it gets scaled, you know, that will further overall improve the margin.
Okay, sir. So second question being, in organic segment, how well are we placed when it comes to non-rice products like pulses, lentils, oils? How are we doing over there?
No, we are not neither in oil or pulses. Our focus is to, you know, do our add-on rice, like regional rice, as the, you know, the category has a good potential growth, and now we are adding the value added of rice. So that's the plan. Not any oil.
In the organic segment?
In the organic segment, we have a complete portfolio.
Okay.
Staple, and that we are soon launching in India market.
Okay, you will. So, how good of a market size do you see over here?
So, you know, Nielsen doesn't cover that, but estimate is roughly, you know, 700 to 800 crore organic. The complete portfolio has a market.
Okay, so 700 to 800 crore of revenue we look over here.
That's a good estimate. We don't have any data as Nielsen doesn't cover that.
Understood. Sir, in ready to eat and ready to cook, do we plan to enter into products other than rice?
Other than rice, at the moment, as I said, we have a basmati, we are adding
in the food space.
Okay.
In the food space, we would, for the time being, we'd like to maintain stay in the rice segment only.
So rice around, rice around that, yes. You know, because Dabur as an equity has a rice equity. So the first extension is we wanted to have, and every food is around rice, you know.
Understood.
Yeah.
And in future, do we plan to enter into the millet segment?
Not yet thought, but we are, for the last 2 months, we are evaluating that. You know.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's also my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Deepak Mandhana from Avigna Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Deepak.
Am I audible?
Yes, Deepak.
Yeah, just two questions from one side, my side. One, on the international side, the facility that you guys are opening up in UK, that would be taking care of all the categories of rice, basmati, brown rice, and parboiled rice, is it?
Yes.
And what would be the EBITDA margin percentage that you would have set as a minimum benchmark from that unit?
So, standalone of that company will be around 7%, 6-7% EBITDA margin. But, you know, when, if it is sourcing from India from our own company, then end-to-end will be, you know,
will be in the similar range as that of 12-13%.
Okay. Just as a follow-up on that, if India and UK are contemplating a treaty, so what would be the impact of it? Because considering rice is also a part of that discussion. So if there is, I think currently there's an export duty there is an import duty which UK puts upon on the export of rice from India. So would that unit be treated completely as a UK entity by itself and it would not have any repercussions, or would there be any repercussions on that entity?
So that will be, if that comes, that's also we are hearing a speculation, you know, the rice duty may go. But if that comes, you know, that's a positive to us, you know.
No, but my point is then your investment that you have made in UK.
So we have factored in that, you know, thing in our, you know, business. So that's a positive, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay. And just on the domestic side, what would be your current market share in the domestic market today?
The last report we got is 30% market share, you know, we have.
Okay. So in terms of competition, are we, what do you feel, are we second or third today in the domestic market?
In India, you know, if you talk about the consolidated India, yes, we are second place. But, you know, as a region-wise, in the western part, Daawat is a number one leading brand. But in some part, we are weak, and some part, we are leading player. Yeah.
And you can you also share some sort of strategy in terms of marketing ploy that you're using to gain a further share in the domestic market?
That's a, you know, like 360 degree, our marketing is doing for acquiring the consumer, be it below the line, be it, you know, the mainline media. So, you know, last quarter we have done, and that we are very proud of that, you know, Daawat has created an asset of Biryani Day. And we are very proud that last 7 July we have, you know, the property is getting much attraction and everyone is joining to, you know, do that. And yeah.
Okay. And just a suggestion, sir. I think it would be prudent that if you could report geographical segments in your financial results, that would be very easy for us to get the numbers in relation to export and domestic.
Sure, we can look into it. In fact, on the yearly basis, the numbers are there because every geography, the financial numbers are there. So each separate entity, so the numbers are being given on the yearly basis in the annual report.
Okay. Just last thing, I think you were saying that because of treaty, it would be lucrative for you to export to UK, right?
No, you know, I said, you know, if it happens, FTA, that is a beneficial to us.
So in a sense, now I am asking because once the company is incorporated in UK, that would become a domestic company in terms of domicile.
Yeah.
So the advantage would remain with the countries which are outside that country.
No. The benefit will be to the, you know, if India, you know, export basmati rice to, you know, UK, so that will be, that the speculation is going on, is that, you know, that will have duty advantage, you know, against the other part of the world, Pakistan. Yeah.
No, my only point was in that case, the investment that we are considering, wouldn't it be, it would actually be nullified in terms of our...
No. So that I cannot get you in detail, but, you know, I said, you know, this is for the last 2 years and we have factored in if, you know, the UK give relief in the import duty, it will not have impact on our business. That is already factored in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Shivam Saxena from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, as there's a lot of stocks in this time, rice growth has been good, crop has been good. So how this will impact the company? So there will be price can decline. So how can this impact the company?
it will not have a, you know, this is the, you know, already the impact has come. The prices of commodity have came down. And, you know, the new crop is coming in September, October. So we are having some impact, but that has been, you know, came in the first quarter, whatever, you know, the impact.
So do you take price cuts? What happens if this, if such a situation is happening? So do you pass on this to customers as well?
Like the price decrease or increase?
Yeah.
In some, like in food service, we have to pass on. So we have passed on.
So overall, it is negative or positive? Or neutral? How should we see it if the crop yield is good or crop prices are going down, the crops have done well? So how do you see it?
You mean to say crop 23, the prices have come down. Is it a negative for us or positive for us? That's what your question is?
Yeah, right.
So I will say neutral, you know, because, you know, we were not fully covered, and you know, we have hedged 30% later on, so it is balanced. And in some part, you know, like in India, we have to pass on the, in the food service, the price decrease. So overall, I will say, you know, it may have impacted our margin by, you know, 0.5% or 0.75% down in this quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. So, just wanted to know, now that procurement costs, I know you have already mentioned about this, but are we going to see some more margin impact in coming quarters? Because even if feed cost increasing, procurement cost is coming down, right? So there should be a you know, compensatory impact, no? So should margins be stable? Ki, are we expecting some downfall still?
You know, we have already covered now, you know, almost, you know, the full crop, like 90% of the crop is hedged. So any Red Sea impact from here on will have an impact on the margin, you know. Yeah.
Okay, because I think July, August, mein thoda aur bada hai freight cost. June, July mein thoda aur bada hai.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still seeing some additional impact on freight, you're saying?
So July, kuch part of, like, you know, some part of the world we have taken a price increase, some part of the world we have not taken. So we are optimistic that second quarter will be very similar to quarter first. If, you know, have that impact, that will be little bit in quarter third. But having said that, you know, we are very optimistic on year 25-26 as, you know, the prices of commodity will also come down, and there will be a stability in the freight cost also.
Great. Good to hear that. One last thing, any view on the upcoming kharif season?
So, you know, whatever the forecast we are getting, the crop is sowing is more 10-15% against last year, and the monsoon is good. So everything so far is looking good, and we are expecting more crop, lesser price.
Great, very good to hear that, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today's call.
Thank you, everyone, and looking forward to see, you know, hear from you in the next quarter. Thank you.
On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.